This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is Mrs. LaGreca, Don's mom. Time for Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg, 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Mrs. LaGreca, and happy Friday, Tri-State. I'm as revved up for a show as I've been in some time. Yeah, you can hear it, Don, right?
Well, I heard that, because I wasn't on Twitter, but by people that were on Twitter, that you have a lot of opinions today.
Well, I do, and we have a lot to get to today. And, you know, sometimes we go under that idea that if the Yankees are playing, we're not going to talk a lot of Yankees till the game's over. Well, that's out the window today, Don, because we have to talk about the fact that the New York Yankees and Aaron Judge were not able to come to an agreement on an extension. And the last thing I saw was that the Judge camp wanted 9 years from the Yankees. So there's a couple of conversations to be had. One about the number, $230 million total, that wasn't enough. But then, Don, the fact that the Yankees offered seven and that was not enough is wild as well. We'll also get into the Mets game from last night, the Pete Alonso scare of it all, yeah, and the Yankees game today, of course, which right now is tied at three. But, Don, your initial thoughts on the Aaron Judge no extension?
Well, 4-3 now, a Red Sox. They got to run in the sixth inning, but my initial reaction was, it sounds to me, Peter, that without saying it, Aaron Judge is saying, I want to be a free agent. I'm testing free agency. He doesn't want the PR hit of saying that, because then the fans can get on him, because he's just said 5 minutes ago he wants to be a Yankee for life. But I believe he gets one chance, one big chance to be a free agent. I had a player tell me one time in the NHL, it's like, you don't understand how great free agency is. You know, you get drafted. You don't have a choice where you're going to get drafted. You're working under a rookie deal. You know, eventually you try to build up your numbers, and it takes a long time to finally get to that big payday in free agency. And it's really, really tempting to go do it, to be able to find out how all these teams feel about you. You really find out what your worth is. And this is one of the best players in baseball when healthy. So you can understand him wanting to go to free agency. And you could also understand him not wanting to say it. But, Peter, when the offer is seven and he wants nine, he's telling you he wants free agency.
And also, this is – you may disagree, Don. Listen, if he wants free agency, that's fine. But if what we're hearing is actually true, that things fell apart essentially because of the amount of years and that he wanted nine, I'm sorry. Come back to me, Aaron.
No, like, exactly.
Come back. If that's a real demand you had – you must think that you play for a true yo-yo bump chuck team. Because, honestly, I want Judge to stay. I think he should be a forever Yankee. I think it would be a great story. It would be great for the fans. It would be great for the organization. It would be great for Judge. I want it to happen. But at his age, with the late start that he had in his career, plus the history of injuries over the last 4 years, the idea of nine, the Yankees would have to be morons, morons, to fall for that.
And I think his camp realizes that. I think they want eight. So you ask for nine, they say seven, and the hope is, all right, we'll meet in the middle and we'll make it eight. But what Judge has to realize is that, you know, you start sticking to your guns long enough, well, then the original offer might come off the table, and then you will become a free agent. You know, and what if nobody is offering you nine? And this whole – and to bring the Mets into the conversation, because that seems to be the feeling. Is, oh, when he gets free agency, Steve Cohen's going to give him whatever he wants. Steve Cohen would love the idea to steal Aaron Judge away from the Yankees and win the PR battle and the back pages and all that. There's been no evidence, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Steve Cohen's out of his mind. And that's what you'd have to be to give a player who's going to be 31 years old next year a 9-year contract. I mean, nine just seems to me absolutely ridiculous. So it's probably, I want nine, scare the Yankees off. Yankees come up with eight. Yankees are holding their ground. And now if he's going to hold true and not speak, well, then it sounds like that unless something happens where the Yankees just, you know, come up with something that blows him away and talks to his agent, if they're not going to speak for the rest of the year, then he is going to test free agency.
I agree with you, Don. Isn't it funny? Like, seven's a long time. Eight is a really long time. Nine is just stupid. It's funny how, like, that to me, it like jumps exponentially. It becomes ridiculous. I wish the Yankees could get him at six, and I understand why Judge wants more. It makes sense to me. I you want to maximize this one situation he really has to catch in just because of the timing of his career. But wow, I'm a little surprised that this is the path we've gone down here.
And listen, I understand that he's the face of the New York Yankees. I understand he's their best player. But there, and as much as, listen, I understand the Yankee fan out there saying, you're rich, you've got the third highest payroll, then be the second highest payroll. We don't want to lose Judge, but you also don't want to set precedent either to where now the next great player is going to say, hey, well, you gave Judge 9 years. That's what I'm going to want. I mean, just there has to be a budget. There has to be a limit at some point. So I just think he wants eight. He asks for nine. They say seven. Hey, we'll meet in the middle. But don't I would not expect if I'm Aaron Judge, who's going to be 31 years old at the end of the season, is going to get a nine-year contract from anybody. Now, looking at it from the Yankees' perspective, I'm going to tell you why this is not really bad news for the Yankees.
All right.
Isn't it possible that the Yankees in the back of their minds are saying, we're eventually going to give him a really big contract, and we will exceed our offer? 9 years sounds ridiculous, but you know, at the end of the day, when he becomes a free agent, we're not going to get outbid. We don't want to take that kind of PR hit. We want to keep Aaron Judge. If you know that's in the back of your mind, Peter, then why not let him play out the season? And if he ends up motivated to go stick it to you and win the MVP, you benefit from that, right? And then if you got to pay the piper, you pay the piper. But maybe he ends up getting hurt. Maybe he's not as great as he's been, and then you get him at a discount. So at this point, if you know deep down in your soul you're eventually going to pay him, why do it now? Why just wait till free agency and maybe something happens this year where you catch a break and he won't be worth as much as he is right now?
I 1,000% agree with that. And that is what smart teams do. That is why there are organizations that are perennially good. They make decisions. That's why Bill Belichick cuts bait at times with people and you go, wow, really? Because you're not running your team like a bunch of fanboys. You're going to have to play hard to get. That's just the nature of it. And you're right, Don. The smart play is to let this season play out. If Judge plays 145, 150 games, and he's Aaron Judge, we're talking about, you know, he's batting 280, 290, he hits 45 home runs, then I think you're 100% right. Yeah. They're not going to go up to 9 years. But that 230 can go up. Now, here's the question I have for you. I haven't looked this up. I only heard this, so correct me if I'm wrong. Are the only everyday players with contracts bigger than 230 like Trout and Betts?
Yeah.
Because if that's the case, Don, then I guess I'm also just a little confused about what Judge's expectations are. I mean, in all fairness, does Judge deserve the same contract, as great as he is, as Trout or Betts?
Not Trout. I mean, Betts we could talk about, but not Trout. But whatever, get what you can, right? But you know, what kills him, Peter, we're not having this conversation if he's 24 years old, 25 years old.
No,
we're not having
no.
the conversation. Give him nine. Give him 10. But at 31, at the end, when this contract's going to kick in, that's just way too long. Forget about the money. It's just way too long. Well, I don't mean forget about the money, but it's like, you know what, the Yankees can afford that, but do you want to pay a guy north of $30 million when he's 39, 40 years old? When you know that he is not going to be, he's going to be a shell of himself. What ball players out there post-PEDs are putting up big numbers 37, 38, 39 years old to justify that kind of contract? But, again, playing to the Yankees here, the Yankees could also think, go out, have your MVP season, win the World Series. Now go test free agency. And if nobody gives you nine, then you're going to come back to us. It's only an issue if somebody else gives them nine.
And
it is possible nobody – I think there are teams that will give them eight.
I don't think even if he plays the best season of his career, I still don't think he's getting offered nine at this age with this history as a 6'7" outfielder. I'm sorry, I don't.
Yeah, and I don't – And if, and as long as, and again, they keep using the Mets as an example, Cohen will do anything. Well, give me the example where he's spent like a drunken sailor. What, because he gave Lindor 10 years? Lindor is a kid compared to Judge. All right, that was a big contract, and he probably overpaid for Lindor. But does that mean he's going to give a 31-year-old a 9-year contract? And again, if he gives the 9 years, well, then, hey, I think people would understand. All right, listen, I can't. It's not that we're being outbid. It's not that we can't afford him. It just doesn't make any sense. Probably doesn't make him sense to give him an 8-year deal, but hey, you got to keep up with the Joneses. So test free agency. That what would it look like for Judge? He's asking for 9, wants to be a free agent, has an MVP year, and then he goes in the free agency and no one offers him 9? Then he's got to come back to the Yankees.
Yeah, as
I think the Yankees, if push comes to shove, Peter, will give 8. Maybe not, but I also don't think they want the egg on their face of losing their franchise player, especially to the Mets.
Well, if you're Judge, though, I get wanting the long contract, but I just feel like there's a better play here with playing up the money over the 7 or 8 rather than forcing 9.
I just think it becomes an ego thing, getting what you don't think anybody else thinks you can get. And I understand the security, but there's still, let's face it, Peter. And I know you made a very good point. There's a certain lifestyle to ball players, and you know,
and he hasn't
their
made
mortgages
a lot yet.
Are higher and their taxes are higher. And listen, I get that. But when we start talking about quote-unquote security, Peter, you're secure, okay?
Well, yes. I mean, if the difference is, if you're talking about 230 over 7 or 290 over 9, yeah, you're
right.
Secure either way.
I understand you're not signing a 2 or 3 year contract. I get that, but, I mean, you're set, all right? You're set. Now it just becomes an ego play, and listen, this is a different era now. Like, you heard the fans cheered him. If this was 1986, they might have booed him today. But I think the fan out there sides more with the player, the management, than they did back in the day.
Well,
but it's going to be hard to kill the Yankees if he goes signs a contract someplace in free agency, you know, 290 over 9, 300 over 9, and call the Yankees cheap for not wanting to give him that.
Although, good for Yankees fans, though, for cheering him today. He should be cheered. Well, he's earned that during his time as a Yankee. So let's get to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. A lot of people want to weigh in on the Judge situation. Let's go to Earn in New York to get started. What's up, Earn?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Love your show. But I'm a diehard Met fan. But to tell you the truth, Judge, he might be a great – he's always injured. I would play out the year, and if he gets hurt like he normally does, I wouldn't mind if we try to get him, but I'd only give him 6 years. I'm sorry. He's a great player, but he's always hurt. I'd only give him 6. I'd give him whatever money, but he's only getting 6 years.
I don't know if you could say, Pia, see if you agree. I don't know if you could say he always gets hurt if he doesn't get hurt this year. This will be back-to-back full seasons for him if he does play well and doesn't get hurt. It's a little unfair to say always hurt, but there are injuries, but it could be a different perspective if he's injury-free this year.
Don, that's why this year is so huge, because in my heart, I am unsure still, and I would imagine most people who have followed his career feel the same way. If I was forced to pick, Don, whether I think he'll play 150 games or I think he'll get beat up and play more like 115, I'd be really stuck trying to decide, because you look at history and 3 of the last 4 years tells you he probably won't be able to give you what you want. So that's why you're right. This year is gigantic. If he has back-to-back full seasons, then you start to believe, hey, it was something he used to deal with. He's not dealing with that anymore. Let's go to Michael and Elizabeth. Hey, Michael, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, Don and Peter? How are you guys?
What's up?
Listen, I'm just coming from – I'll put this out there. I'm a public school teacher. I've been a public school teacher for 25 years. I'm a big Judge fan. If I'm advocating for Judge, or let's say I'm negotiating with the Yankees, he sells. He's a big sell. Face of the franchise, I would hedge my bet, yes. He has a whole section named after him out there in right field. You know, when he was first coming up, the first jersey I went to go buy was 99. You know, he's got the personality. He's got the smile. You know what? If I were the Yankees, I'd come back, right? Some of the other guys are making, what, 35, 36 for 7 years. You know? The age thing, 31, you know, you're going to have to let it ride there. But I think Yankees could make that 7 years, 35 or 36 mil.
I wonder, yeah,
again,
Michael.
I'm a public school teacher, so I'll take it. I'll take seven at 30 mil. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I hear you, and thank you for your work, Michael, as a teacher. But I'll say this: I wonder if they tried that, Don. I wonder how far they pushed that number over 7 years. Do we know the absolute max? Is that what the 230 number was?
That's what we understand it to be. Yeah, over seven. To me, when we heard the report, he wants nine. It sounds like he just wants the years. I guess can be negotiated, but it's really just coming down to the Yankees not wanting to go to nine, and I can understand that.
Let's get the details here from Brian Cashman, who spoke earlier. Here's Cash.
Just for transparency purposes, our final effort was trying to buy out 7 years of free agency at $30.5 million a year on top of the final season, which is this year, which is the arbitration setting. It would turn out to be either 17 or 21, which is his number. So total would be 8 year deal, seven free agent years at 30.5 plus the 17 or 21, in this final season, which now will just conclude one way or the other here in the time frame between now and the hearing date.
So what that means, from what I understand, is that he would get his arbitration money this year, the final year of the original contract, and then the additional 7 year extension would be 30.5 a year. So would that make – now, if you made it 35.5 a year for seven, would that do it when a guy's saying, no, I want 9 years? Doesn't sound like the money's the issue. It sounds like he wants the security of having a contract till he's 40. And I think that's too much. Now, maybe he's saying that, Peter, hoping they come back with eight at 30.5 and they meet in the middle. But the Yankees didn't blink. They threw first pitch. Deadline's over. So who blinks first? Or does this just ride until we get to the end of the season? And so, then you go. And listen, to the Yankee fan out there, Peter, you live in the now anyway. This guy is going to be completely, not that he needs to be, but he's going to be motivated to go out there and stick it to the Yankees and have an amazing season. You benefit from that. So you should still be rooting for that. And if it does, then I could see the Yankees going to eight. I can't see them going to nine.
The biggest active contracts in Major League Baseball. Trout signed a 12-year deal at 27 years old, average $35.5 million a year. Betts averages $30 million a year. Lindor, $34 million a year, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Tatis is at 24. Harper's at 25. Stanton's at 25. So he'd be six over Stanton, which to me feels pretty reasonable, honestly. Machado's at $30 million. Arenado's at $32
million. Well, I'm telling you, these Yankee fans are like, give him what he wants. If we're, knock on wood, hopefully still doing this show 7-8 years from now, are they going to be the same fans complaining? I can't believe we're paying this guy who can't even stay on the field $30 million a year.
Oh, and that's the thing, that the people who are not seeing the forest through the trees, that's the logic. You're like, I just want this guy. I want this. You have to. They have to look at this whole thing, even though I'm sure they love the guy. He seems like a very likable guy. Here's Brian in New Jersey. Brian, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's everything?
What's up?
Good, man.
Hey, I may be in the minority, but I got to say, I think the show is better with just the two of you. That's just one. It was good.
Brian, I appreciate it, but you are squarely in the minority, especially with the people who make the decisions.
I just want to say, I think you can't just assume that the Yankees are going to re-sign Judge. I mean, you look historically over the past, let's say, 10 years, they've been routinely getting outbid for people that they thought were slam dunks to go. Even if you go back to Cano, Machado, Harper, even Correa this year, these guys were, everyone just assumed they were going to go to the Mets. To the Yankees.
Well, here's the misunderstanding, Brian. You might end up being right, but from what we understand, they didn't want those players. They weren't interested in Machado and Harper. Remember, Peter, their logic was, we already have enough outfielders. And I don't know, were they might have been outmaneuvered for Correa, but I don't know if they were outbid for Correa. Look at the bid they got. The Yankees could have matched that. You know, it's all a matter of that, whether Correa wanted to sign that kind of a deal with the Yankees. So, Peter, I don't think they get outbid. I think they just sometimes don't want that player for that price. Not we can't afford it. They put a budget, and they obviously have a budget of $30.5 per year for 7 years. That's what they think he's worth. So if some other team gives them $8, like if he becomes a free agent, the Mets offer him $8, I could see the Yankees coming back and countering that offer. But $9? I can't kill the Yankees if they don't give him $9. Is that being outbid? If Cohen gives them 9 years, is that the Mets outbidding the Yankees, or the Yankees saying, oh, you know, go ahead.
Well, by the
I'm not dancing there. I think those are two different things.
See, I disagree. That's exactly the same thing, and it's fine. It's just not a bad thing. Don, if we were at an auction and we both want a baseball card, and all of a sudden someone jumps in and goes, you know what, I'm willing to pay $50,000 for that card. And I just go,
yeah, you know what,
hey,
it's
pal.
Semantics.
Yeah, it's semantics. Hey, pal, go ahead. Don, what it basically is, it's being outbid, but not because you're cheap. It's because you're smart.
There's a difference between
the two.
It's not I can't afford that. It's just I'm not willing to pay that.
By the way, this happens with my wrestling T-shirts all the time. Listen, there are a lot of shirts I want. I could get them if I was as psycho as some of the people I know, but I'm not spending $2,000 on a shirt, no matter how much I like it. It's just not going to happen. So it's not a matter of them not having the money. They clearly have it. It's what do they want to do. 1-800-919-3776. Vinny has an interesting idea in Jersey City. Hey, Vinny, what do you got?
What's up, guys? Here it is. Sign Michael Conforto.
And you think he's anywhere near Aaron Judge?
Well, is he 20% or 25% of Aaron Judge?
Well, let's just say for sake of argument, he's half a Judge. All right,
let's say that. 30 home runs at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, but you're devaluing your team. Yeah, you'll get him on the cheap. You'll get him a lot cheaper. I get what you're saying. He's not a bad player, but he's not Aaron Judge.
Don, what have the Rays and the A's been successful with? Finding players that fit better. And I've been a Yankee fan. I don't want to say a long time. You hear that forever, but I have been. And I've been through all kinds of free agency with them, and I follow it closely. And they're not always successful giving a lot of money to guys.
True.
And Judge has proven that he's a very, very good player. But Michael Conforto, I think, is still a very, very good player.
But here's the thing, Vinny. I get what you're saying, but from even an analytical standpoint, it's still way more valuable to have Aaron Judge than Michael Conforto. I mean, Aaron Judge gets on base. Aaron Judge hits home runs. He's an A-plus defender. He's got a bullet for an arm.
And he's homegrown. That matters a lot.
And also the PR standpoint, too. You're talking about a homegrown guy that the fans absolutely adore. As we're having this conversation, Vinny, and thank you for the phone call, I'm seeing foul balls going to the stands. You know who I see chasing the foul balls? 99 jerseys. It bothers me that it says Judge on the back,
but
they love the guy.
You're right. You're not wrong.
But
I don't know. I mean, he says he wants to be Yankee for life, and then I wonder.
Well, I honestly, Vinny, and thank you for the phone call, I think it's all just PR. Because essentially what he's saying is, I want to test free agency. But you don't want to say that, Peter, because then you're an ingrate to the Yankee fans. So what do you say? I want to be a Yankee for life. Both could be true. I want to be a Yankee for life, but. And then it's just about who's the bad guy. And there'll be people, Peter, that will look at Judge as the bad guy if he went and signed with the Mets. I thought you wanted to be a Yankee for life.
Oh, but absolutely.
There'll be a lot of people that'll hate the Yankees saying, how come you couldn't outbid the Mets?
And by the way, neither side would be completely wrong. Listen, obviously everyone wants this to work out. I cannot imagine a Yankee fan out there who's going to say, I don't care whether or not we keep Aaron Judge.
Well, let me ask you this, and you can answer after the break if you want. If that were to happen, he becomes a free agent, Mets give him a 9-year contract, Yankees do not match, he becomes a Met. Who do the Yankee fans side with? Is Judge the bad guy for signing with the Mets, or are the Yankees the bad guy for not giving him what he wanted?
Mm. See, Don, these are the kind of questions you get paid the big bucks for. Right. All right, we'll answer that and do much more next, including a Tiger Woods update. It hasn't been the best start to the day on the front nine for Tiger and Augusta. It's Peter, it's Don, Michael joining us after the Yankee game. It's the Case Show on Yes and Night. Just on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Case Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tiger just hit his approach on the 7th. This is the best-looking hole he has had in a while. He'll have a decent look at birdie here.
Ooh, Tiger just hit it close on 10.
He has not been great today, to put it mildly, and currently sits at 3 over. So it's as we get close to the back nine here, Don. Listen, it's Tiger. He definitely has his moments where he struggles on the front nine and then puts together 4 or 5 birdies throughout the rest of the day, and he's back in business. But now would be a pivotal moment. If he could knock in this birdie on 7, maybe you start to believe he can turn the corner. But from the very start, he just has not been the same guy he was yesterday. Doesn't appear to be labored or struggling, just hasn't been very good.
Well, that's why this game is so difficult, right? But I'm sure even if he's not look like he's laboring, just, you know, it's a lot after yesterday, and they always wonder how you'll be the next day. I'm not surprised he's not as good. That's why winning this thing and being in contention was just such a Hail Mary, right? Because there is a stamina. There is a lot to do over 4 days. So if every day is a little worse, then maybe it's enough to make the cut, but maybe not enough to be in contention unless he can do something special here.
Taking your calls at 1-800-919-3776. And by the way, this is Diamond Notes on the Michael Kay Show, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Let's go to Eddie on Staten Island. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's going on, Peter and Don? A few calls ago, I think they said the show's better without Michael Kay. I'm going to second that. It's fun to not have the infant in the room, but I am just messing around.
Okay. We appreciate it.
The call I'm trying to make, and it's not really a question, I'm just posing the idea. If Judge comes to the Mets and we do sign him for that 8-9 year deal, I don't care if it's super successful. I don't care how well it works out. I care about the power dynamic and how it would change, and that the pendulum would swing kind of from the Yankees over onto the Mets, even if it's just for optics. Seeing that 99 Mets jersey for 8 years is going to be tough to swallow as a Yankee fan.
Oh, it would be very difficult. But you also have to go out there and win games, Eddie. What good would it would be to have Judge if you're not winning? And part of winning is making sure that you've got, even with what feels like an infinite bottomless budget with Steve Cohen, you also don't want to get stuck in too many bad contracts either. And I'm not saying that Judge is a bad player, but that contract can be bad, Peter. And it, you know what? It could be bad in year 5 or 6. So Steve's a businessman, right? I mean, I think he's going to try to make up for his mistakes, but do you think that he's going to be happy if Aaron Judge is a broken-down player, you know, and there's still 4 years left on that contract at something like $120 million?
You know what, Don? I think I may have the perfect argument here.
What's that?
How would you say Stanton has been generally over the course of his contract with the Yankees?
Good.
Good. Yeah. Including at times, like last year, being their best offensive weapon in the playoffs.
Right.
Already homered today, by the way. The ball got out in about 4 seconds. Would you say that the average Yankee fan is really happy with the Stanton contract?
No.
Exactly.
And the reason for it is because there's a budget, and they feel like the reason they weren't in on Machado and Harper is because of the money they still have to pay him in addition to Cole and then waiting for Judge to get signed. So if you start to hear things, and this can happen to the Mets too, or even with the Yankees are thinking like, oh, we'd love to be able to get that player, but we still have Judge for another 5 years. And, oh, by the way, he's clogging up our DH because, you know, he can't play the outfield anymore in his advanced age in the late 30s. All this stuff has to be considered. But, please, let's honor the tease, Peter. We didn't get to do that. I painted the scenario before we went to break that Judge signs a 9-year deal with the Mets in free agency and becomes a New York Met. Who's the villain? Judge for signing with the Mets or the Yankees not matching the offer?
In the immediate, before we know how the contract plays out and what he plays like and his availability, in the immediate, the phone lines would be killing the Yankees, not Judge. What do you say?
But I agree with you because I think most fans now side with players over management, but that won't be the whole way because as the years go by,
the narrative will change.
But I think initially, because of how the Yankee fan seems to really hate their own ownership and their general manager right now, how could they not be the villains? If we're talking a year from today, if they don't like Hal and Brian now, how are they going to like them if they let Aaron Judge go to the competition?
But in all fairness, Don, this is just my hunch, okay? I'm a yo-yo. We know that, right? Tiger, by the way, pars the seventh. He now is the par five, eighth ahead. He's three over. Even if Judge is great, I don't think there's a world in which I can imagine this Aaron Judge, who will be 31 by the end of this season with his pass, there's no version, Don, in which the nine-year deal works out exactly how you hope it would. At best, the first several years are really good. And then as the second half of the contract comes, yes, it's not great, but you're so happy, you already won a World Series, and you eat it. But, Don, I'm sorry. All we can base things on is the history we've seen. And you look at the last 4 years, his age now, what we know about baseball in general with these huge contracts, it's very hard to picture a guy of his size playing the outfield at 38 years old and it being worth what they would have paid him over the course of 9 years.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the fan will understand that. They'll just look at the fact that their favorite player is now a Met.
And that would hurt. It would, by the way, it would really hurt.
Now, if he's a Dodger, if he's a Giant, it's a different story. But if it's a Met, that'd be difficult to swallow.
Although I do think he's the first Yankee in a long time, since Jeter, that you just can't picture him going somewhere else.
Well,
he's
playing the type of hardball where, you know what, if he doesn't want to test free agency, then he better make a call to the Yankees sometime during the course of the season because – if there's a two-year gap between, he's going to go to free agency. If he thinks the Yankees are going to go from 7-9, it's not going to happen. So maybe there's a phone call, and Judge says, all right, listen, all right, maybe not 9, how about 8? But at this point, past the deadline, I think he's going to free agency.
I'm just trying to think of – I mean, there are people who still want Didi back. There were people who did not love that. But – that's the closest we've gotten post-Jeter to fans, I think, really struggling with the idea of someone not being in the pinstripes.
Yeah, you know, the other player that we forgot that caller said they got outbid for was Cano. Well, the Yankees were willing to give him 7. The Mariners gave him 10. Goodbye. Right? And Cano may not have been Jeter, but he was a superstar. And he left, and they quote-unquote got outbid, but you know what? The Yankees weren't going to go to 10, and they were right. How right did that look?
Right, exactly.
Because he's not even playing for the Mariners right now. You know, he had a great day yesterday with the Mets, and we got to get to the Mets and what they did last night. Cano had a couple of hits, looked good at second base, but you know, Cano's not a Mariner anymore. Just came off a one-year suspension for PEDs. I got to tell you know what? The Yankees were right about that.
They nailed it. Let's go to Richie on Staten Island. Hey, Richie.
How you guys doing?
What's up?
I think you guys are missing a little bit, okay? I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm not one of the ones, like you guys just said with Cano, I would have never gave him 10 years. However, I think they lowballed Judge, $213 million, and then try to include this year's arbitration. I think the deal would have gotten done at 280, 6 years, done.
No.
Okay?
I don't think, Judge Richie, but that's not what the report is saying. He wants 9. The report isn't saying he wants more money per year. The report is he wants 9.
Well, I'm thinking maybe because he got lowballed, he pushed that after. I'm guessing. Again, you guys know more than I do.
But you know, Richie, but you know what? You're on to something in the sense of maybe he really doesn't want 9. 9 translates into I'm going to free agency. Like, you know, because he has to know. There's no way, Richie, you know in life, you know, you go to buy a meal that's worth $20 and you tell the waitress, you know what, I'll give you $10, you know that's not going to be accepted. Well, look at it the other way. I'm sure his agent, when they say, if they made the call to Brian Cashman and said, I want 9 years, they had to know that they were going to get laughed at. They had to know. Especially when the original offer, Peter, according to reports, was six, a club option for a seventh?
Right, right.
No, and then you're asking for nine?
No, that's a gargantuan ask.
Yeah, that's almost like, like Dumb and Dumber. What are the chances of me going out with you?
Right. So you're saying there's a chance.
There's no chance. You just know that there's no shot. None. But you don't want to say none. You don't want to say free agency. So you do the next best thing. You want something you know they're going to say no to.
Let's go to Mike in Hawthorne. Mike, what's up, man? What are your thoughts on
Mike?
Judge?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Don, first of all, great to have you back, and I'm glad you're feeling better, brother. Everybody's
thank you. And did you avoid that? I know there was a lot of flooding in Hawthorne. My mom had some water in her basement. I know you're not in Hawthorne, but you've got family there now. Is it bad by you?
Yeah, it was bad. I was actually at my brother's house till 2 in the morning pumping out the basement right around the corner from where your mom is. So, yeah, we got it pretty bad last night. We got it really pretty bad. So,
well, hang in there, man.
Yeah, you too. And hope all is well. I never in a million years thought I'd be able to – I thought I would think this way because big Yankee fan, all that stuff like that guy said is funny. I'm not going to tell you how long other than I grew up in the Bronx when I was a little kid. I never thought that I'd say – I'm not happy with Aaron Judge about anything. This has such a bad taste in my mouth about this kid. He was always the franchise. He was always the guy that you wanted to root for and you always wanted to do. 9 years, Peter, I couldn't agree with you more. And it's a joke that – not a joke. It's today's athlete, and we all thought that Judge was different. And to me, this proves he's nothing more than the regular guy. It's all about get mines. And he wants 9 years at 31 years old. That's not good business for the Yankees. And now Judge, to me, my daughter and my wife, we go to games. We have the 99 jerseys all over the place. But to me, this makes Judge look like just a regular guy out trying to get all the money he can, which is fine. That's okay. They deserve everything they get because a professional career is over and it's over. But you know,
it's not how you thought of him.
No, absolutely not. And again, now it makes me think that he's Carmelo Anthony. You know, he's just a guy, you know, I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to be that. It's not about the team, it's about me. If I can't go 9 years, how can you get people, like you said, he's going to be hurting maybe for the last 3 or 4 years of the contract, and you're going to be stuck with $30 million a year, and you're going to go after some kid who's 23 years old, who's in high school right now, and you don't have the money to go get him. And, again, I love Judge. He's done a great job being a really good teammate and all that stuff, but as far as I'm concerned, he took a big step back today. Took a big step back in my eyes.
It's an interesting take. It's a segment of the fan base that I'm sure exists because he really has, Don, had a pristine reputation. So this is something that could impact the fan base for sure. Now, let's take a break, and when we come back, let's also start bringing the Mets into the mix, Don. It was a big start last night. Listen, there's 162 games, Don, but it does always feel good to come out of the gate playing well, right?
Well, it's your debut. Even Cats had a first show, right? So, and you'd like to think that part of the run came from how they did with the first appearance, you know?
Right. They didn't know that they had 240,000 afterwards. Right. That'll do it for Diamond Notes, brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. So if you want to talk about how Cano looked at second, the Pete Alonso scare, the win in general, we'll dive into the Mets as well, plus more Yankee calls. It's Peter, it's Don, it's the K Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And Tiger completes the tap-in on the eighth, Don, to get to 2 over par for the tournament. And now he looks pretty good, off to a good start on 9. And I was just saying to Anthony off the air, it's a sort of fascinating situation that you don't see every day where the cut line's at plus 4. Tiger's like flirting with the cut line. But at the same time, Don, the leader is only 3 under. So a couple of birdies on the back 9. Now, keep in mind, Tiger has 4 bogeys for the day and just had his first birdie. If he can get a couple of birdies on the back 9, Don, you go from worrying about the cut line to thinking, well, he's going to compete this weekend.
But don't they determine the cut line based on the leader? The distance from the leader?
Well, yes, based on the leader and the pack.
Okay.
So because the pack is all bunched up, it just happens to be that the cut line's at plus 4. But the leader only is up to, Schwartzel's at minus 3. And by the way, there's only 4 players at 3 under. Schwartzel, M, Willette, and Scheffler. Harold Varner, by the way, the American. Harold Varner III right there at 2 under. DJ there as well. Matsuyama, 2 under. Morikawa, 1 under. Kevin Na, Tony Finau there at 1 under. And then Tiger sitting there at plus 2. So an interesting moment to watch, because Tiger could find himself near the cut line or maybe actually competing for this tournament.
So what you're saying is Andrew has a chance, though,
at winning
his bet.
Andrew still has a chance. That's correct.
God
hates Andrew's
me.
The only one that had him missing the cut.
Now, I'll tell you who else has a chance. I have a chance at him being sitting right at my spot at 1 under and making the cut. That's also very much in play right now. 1-800-919-3776. A lot on the table. A little iffy start today for Garrett Cole. We'll talk to more with Michael about that when he joins the show. But yeah,
okay.
Also, what was up with Cole getting so irritated by Billy Crystal's first pitch?
I don't know.
Did you see it?
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
Yeah, go look on Twitter. Up Garrett Cole, Billy Crystal on Twitter. And basically, when Billy Crystal's doing the ceremonial first pitch, obviously got to bring out a big gun, big star for opening day. Cole just seemed very frustrated and ready to start. I wonder if he'll be asked about it. I'm sure he will be.
No, I don't think it. Well, yeah, I'm looking at it now. That was not about Crystal. It was just about,
let's go.
Let's start. Let's pitcher. You know, I don't know how far it was from what time he thought he was going to start pitching, but I get that. You time your warm-ups to go out there and start.
You want it to be just right. You want it to be just right. It's maybe more than any other sport. Is there any more important warm-up in sports than a pitcher?
No, it's huge.
It's the number one warm-up in all of sports. Everything else, it's important. It's definitely important. A golfer's got to get on the range and hit some balls. You watch a tennis player warming up before a tournament, and you see how focused they are, and they try to time it exactly right as well. But a starting pitcher, I could see how your first start of the year, you thought you timed it perfectly. You don't have time for the shenanigans.
But I think all players, but especially a pitcher, or you're in the starting lineup, you rev yourself up for the game to start at a particular moment, and then when it doesn't and you have to wait, I can understand his frustration. So I don't think it had anything to do with Billy. It could have been anybody out there throwing the first pitch. I just think he was aggravated on how long he had to wait or the mistiming of it all. But
Don, what's your schedule this weekend? What you have any Rangers action?
I just have to pre and post Saturday Rangers and Senators. Otherwise, I'm free.
Any
That's
big
all
plans for
weekend.
Maybe some sesame chicken in your future?
I don't think so. No. Again, Nancy's not a big Chinese woman. She'll have it, but not that was weird. She's not a big Chinese woman. No. No, she's not. Not at all.
I've never thought of her.
No, she's not. She'll get it on occasion. I don't think that's in her future. No, that's not a weekend thing. Maybe Sunday. Maybe.
What has become the kids' like favorite go-to thing to get?
Yeah, for Jalen, it's spaghetti.
Ooh.
For Marco, it's hot dogs.
That seems perfect for Marco.
And she likes she calls it the twisty spaghetti, which the twisty noodles.
Tiger just pulled a vintage Tiger Woods. He's so disgusted with his shot that as his follow-through is happening, he just lets go of the club.
Oh, that's as classic as the fist pump.
Yeah, it is. It's the other side of the fist pump. And
right,
he just
the
like
other side.
He's absolutely disgusted with his second shot on 9. Although he should, it was a bad shot. He should still be able to par this hole, but he did not like that at all. Yeah. Tiger, by the way, if you're wondering, wearing a blue pants with a teal shirt today and the blue Tiger Woods cap. Because Don, I know you need the full picture.
Now, Nick Smith says the Masters cut line is whatever score the 50th player has.
Whatever score the 50th player has.
Right.
That makes sense.
And also getting a lot of, I'm trying to find the one that had it the best. He sent it to everybody. 100% disagree. Scherzer drilling someone tonight sets a tone to the team and the season. I mean, listen, I get that in a perfect world, but there is an awkwardness to him. There's going to be like a video tribute.
Listen, he can't do it in the first inning. I mean, listen. You'll win over your teammates. He's right about that. It certainly would. You talk about showing you something. It would be showing something. It just would be very aggressive for a guy who was the heart and soul of that team and took them to their first World Series win. That's a tough one.
Yeah, especially if Alonso was ticked off about it. We'll see. Listen, Scherzer's the right guy. I don't think he would have any qualms about doing it. Just like you go back to the days of the Gibsons and all those. Listen, it was a different game back then for sure. But Noah would have no problem with that if he was still on the Mets, but
CeCe would be waiting for it.
Yeah, I think that there are moments, but I'm with you, Peter. I don't think it has to be the first inning, but maybe at some point. But listen, I'm all for it. I get it sets the tone, but you know what also sets the tone? Going out there, striking out the side, winning a game, giving me 6-7 innings of efficient baseball, go 2-0, and then if you want to plunk somebody later in the season, go at it. I don't need him hitting somebody, getting that guy on, taking him out of his rhythm, give up a couple of runs in the first inning, and it ended up costing them a chance to win a game. Listen, I'm probably exaggerating on both sides of the coin, but I'm sure the Mets filed it away, and it would definitely set the tone, but I'm not going to get too caught up in it. I'm just looking at wins, getting off to a really good start, and nothing getting in the way of that happening.
Nets hosting the Cavs tonight, Don. What are your thoughts? They're 8.5-point favorites at home against the Cavs tonight. Nets now, at this moment, tied with the Hawks, both at 42-38, as it's set up right now. The Nets would be in the 8 slot against these same Cavs, who are sitting in the 7, and the Hawks would have the Hornets. So with just 2 games left for the Nets, it's still very unclear whether or not they end up in the 7-8 or the 9-10.
Well, that's an awful high number, isn't it?
To me, it is. I was very surprised by that. I guess I think that's – I know, Don, it's tempting, actually. Cleveland's tempting. Now, listen, this could be one of those things, because you and I both think it's a high number. This could be one of those things where Vegas knows the Nets are actually going to win by 15 tonight.
Yeah, and listen, the Cavaliers have dropped 7 of 10. They've lost 2 in a row.
They're not playing great right now.
And they can't catch Chicago. So the only thing they have to play for is the home court in that game. And there's one game in the loss column separating the two. So it's a big game from that standpoint.
You would think you really want that, though.
I would, but I have found in sports, Peter, that teams being motivated for home court or home field, it doesn't seem to be as motivating as actually, making the playoffs. Cleveland might just be happy after a miserable couple of seasons just to be happy to be in it in some way, shape, or form. 8.5 just seems a little bit high. but we know what this Nets team can do. It's also three games in four nights for Brooklyn. I don't know what it is for Cleveland, because remember they had that back-to-back off yesterday after the win against the Knicks at the Garden. So it is three games in four nights, and they do have the tiebreaker against the Hawks. Hawks have played well. They've won 7 of 10.
Yeah,
but I think you pretty much. I think they're going to be the eight.
So if the Nets are the eight, and then beat the Cavaliers, the Nets then become the seven. Correct.
Yes.
And then play. They would then play, if it ended right now, the Bucks, the two.
Hmm. What a great series that would be.
Are you kidding me?
Last year, off of how they played against each other. What was that, like a week ago when Durant had a chance to win it in overtime?
Yeah, it would be sensational.
But see, this is the issue with believing the Nets can make a run. All right, first of all, you got to play the extra games. And when I said eight, I mean 7-8. They're not going to fall to nine. So if I had to bet, they might even climb to seven and have home court against Cleveland. But they're going to have to play that extra game. And then will you get a first round matchup against the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks? And let's say you beat them, which they certainly can. Then in the second round, what are you looking at, Peter? Let's say the Heat would end up playing whoever. I guess it would be, you know.
They wouldn't end up in that game. Wouldn't they end up playing the winner of the 4-5, the Philly Toronto? I think you could be looking at a Philly series second.
All right, so there you go. You just beat Milwaukee. Now you got to go through Philadelphia. And then in the third round, it's either the Celtics or the Heat. You know, and then you get to the final, and then you're facing who? The Suns again. To win four series against those teams.
With the kind of year they've had and what they've looked like.
And again, in at least the first round, the Bucks will be a little bit rested because you're going to have to mess around. Now, they could lose to Cleveland and then have to play, you know, that second game. You know, so who knows how much they're going to have to be involved in that play-in, how much extra work they're going to have to do. But the point is that usually when you're a really good team competing for a championship, you kind of get the layup first round, right? At least we can kind of cruise through, win in 4 or 5 games, rest up for the second round, then a little bit of a harder team, but not the toughest. And then usually you're facing the likes of the Bucks and the Sixers in the third round, you know, and by then everything's kind of even, but you'll be facing the teams that really championship caliber teams should be facing in the second and third round. You'll be facing them in the first and second. Heck, you take a look at it, Peter, depending on how things go, their conference final matchup might be easier than their first and second round.
Yeah, that's true.
Because no offense to the Celtics, but I imagine if you had to play Milwaukee in the first round, Philadelphia in the second round, you might actually look forward to playing the Sixers in the third round.
The Celtics, you mean.
In the third round.
I agree.
Or the Heat.
Tiger saves par on the ninth. God, Don, golf is just an incredible game to me, though. Because, like, he knows at this point, obviously, how important this stretch of the day is. And you finally get a birdie to feel good. And on the next hole, he ends up needing, like, a 9-10 footer to save par. I know you don't play golf, but, like, it's just so crazy to me how with that much pressure, knowing they cannot afford to drop strokes, that they can just step up and knock down 10-footers. Like, can't wait.
I will watch every golf.
The only thing that I can think that's an equivalent is, and I was thinking about this during the tournament, just sitting there in the Superdome at the foul line.
Yeah.
Duke, North Carolina late. And I'm just putting myself in those kids' shoes. Like, I got to hit a foul shot. And it's easy to hit a foul shot. Anybody can hit a foul shot.
Sure.
But under those circumstances, the whole world's watching you. You know, so that's the only equivalent I can think of. Where it's mano a mano. There's nothing stopping you. There's no excuses. There's no, well, wait a minute. You know, the tackle missed his block.
Well, that's one of the things I think that makes us focus on free throw percentage so much. I mean, besides the fact that late in a game you can completely blow a game if you can't hit free throws. But I think there's something when you're Steph Curry or Reggie Miller, you know, and you shoot 90% from the line. There's something that just screams, this person took this incredibly seriously. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a feeling when you see someone who shoots above 85% from the free throw line, I just, you immediately respect them more as a player because you know that comfort in situations that are intense comes from literally endless hours in the driveway. That's all it is.
Right.
It just shows you did it constantly because there were always kids on teams who were not good and could hit free throws because that's what they did.
It's muscle memory, right?
Right. They did it over and over and over. So even if the pressure's high, you still feel pretty good about it because you do it constantly.
Right, and well, it doesn't
Tiger
change.
Just did it close on 10.
Backyard, Superdome, same distance, same height. But when you're putting from green to green, it's completely different. Now how about this, just comparing it to every other sport? And listen, I'm no golf guy, but I love golf movies and I love golf games.
That's right.
If I shoot 50% from the field as an NBA player, I'm good. If I go if I bat 500 in baseball, I'm waltzing into the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
If my power play is 50% in the NHL, it is by far, like 20% better than anybody else's power play. If I'm par in golf, I'll never win a tournament.
Nope. It's a different animal. By the way, That drop, I assume that's why you hit the drop, Anthony, because Tiger is on the 10th right now. So.
Only logical time to play it, yeah.
If this is the only time. Let's hear it one more time. This is the only time it makes sense.
Ooh, Tiger just hit it close on 10.
Wasn't a bad shot either.
Was that a Thursday or a Friday spot with Trey?
I think that was a Thursday.
Probably Thursday, right?
By the way, I meant to get Trey on this week. I wanted to hear from him. I wanted to talk to him in the nude.
Really?
Well, maybe not literally, you know.
No.
No, not that. 1-800-919-3776. Chris in Philly wants to talk Mets. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, bud.
Peter, you're so excited about Tiger right now. Are you currently nude or
it's a fair,
are you guys on camera?
Normally, if a dude calls up and just asks me if I'm nude, I have a problem with it.
But it's
in this
relevant.
Case, yeah, and we're not on camera. And we're not on camera, so it's entirely possible.
Yeah, no, you have the chance.
No, I'm actually clothed today, sadly.
Yeah, you know, the thing about the Mets, this game that made me the most excited, like, of course, when they signed Scherzer, that kind of, like, overshadowed all the other signings that they made this offseason. But, like, one of the things I was excited about was seeing the guys that they signed hit the ball and manufacture runs, because that's not something the Mets have done in years, it feels like. And that's kind of exactly what happened in this game. That's how they scored. So I was really happy to see that. I was really happy to see how they were hitting with runners in scoring position and just like making runs and not just like waiting for Alonso to hit a blast, you know?
Well, that's just how baseball's played, right? Is that it's waiting for that home run to bail you out. And you look at the Yankee game today, Rizzo two-run home run, Stanton solo home run, LeMahieu solo home run. Like, all of their runs, all four of their runs came off the home run, which is great. But you're so right. Top of the fifth inning, scoreless tie, what did the Mets do? They manufactured some runs. They did it again the next inning, built on it. I mean, that's, Peter, getting runners on base, walking, the fact that Cano was able to bunt against the shift to get on, like, that's the small ball that I think sometimes can work for you because you can't always rely on the home run. So I should have brought that up myself, but I'm glad that he reminded me. Home runs are great, and that's usually how most of your runs are scored. We know that in baseball. But, Peter, when you can win a game 5-1 and you're not relying on the big home run all the time, that's going to mean that in these close games down the stretch, going up against good pitching, that you don't necessarily need a pitcher's mistake to get a big inning and to get runs. And you saw that last night at Nationals Park, that they were able to do that and got five runs and won a game.
Well, you know how I feel. That's exactly why I'm never confident with this version of the Yankees in the playoffs, because they're generally not run manufacturers. And I'm always nervous about the home run going away in the playoffs.
Well, you know, everything that we opened the show with, Peter, Aaron Judge wanting 9 years, Yankees only willing to give him 7. Who do you think is up? 4-4, 2 outs, bottom of the 9th inning. Who's up?
99, baby.
That's right. And what did he do? He doubled.
Did he really?
So it wasn't the drama of a game-winning walk-off home run, which would have really been interesting. But he has a chance now with a two-out double to score the winning run if Rizzo can get a big hit here. So is that good, too?
Well, of course it is.
But not the drama, right, of,
no,
boy,
listen,
of all people to hit the walk-off, it's Judge.
I mean, yeah, you tell me he hits a solo shot there. I mean, that really would have been emphatic.
Probably the only people that would be unmoved by it would be the Yankees. As much as they would have been happy to win, it's like,
oh, they'll take it, but they're not changing their position on the contract. They're not going, hey, dude, that was so good. On second thought, 9 years sounds really fair. Apologies. That's what fans would do, but not the Yankees. 1-800-919-3776. Like Don just said, they're in the ninth in the Bronx. So whatever this game ends, we will be joined by Michael Kay. And yes. But for now, more of your calls and more Mets, Yankees, and so much more on the K Show on a Friday on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
We're unsuccessful in concluding a multi-year pact.
It sounds to me that without saying it, Aaron Judge is saying, I want to be a free agent. He doesn't want the PR hit of saying that because then the fans can get on him because he just said 5 minutes ago he wants to be a Yankee for life. He gets one chance to be a free agent. And this is one of the best players in baseball when healthy. So you can understand him wanting to go to free agency, and you could also understand him not wanting to say it. But when the offer is seven and he wants nine, he's telling you he wants free agency.
And also, you may disagree, Don. Listen, if he wants free agency, that's fine. But if what we're hearing is actually true, that things fell apart essentially because of the amount of years and that he wanted nine, I'm sorry. Come back to me, Aaron.
The Michael Kay Show.
Seven's a long time. Eight is a really long time. Nine is just stupid.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I mean, when I make sense, I make sense.
You do. That was a bold statement.
It's Peter and Don on the K-Show 503 on this beautiful Friday in the tri-state. Tiger Woods, I don't want to say he's melting down, but this is not a good moment for him on 12, I believe. Is it 12 or 13, Anthony? It's not what you want right now. So we'll keep you posted on all things Tiger, but we're talking Aaron Judge. As well, Don, a $230 million seven-year offer, not enough.
Right.
Brian Cashman actually gave us the details earlier of exactly what it was. Let's hear from Cash.
Just for transparency purposes, our final effort was trying to buy out 7 years of free agency at $30.5 million a year on top of the final season, which is this year, which is the arbitration setting. It would turn out to be either 17 or 21, which is his number. So total would be 8 year deal, seven free agent years at 30.5 plus the 17 or 21, you know, in this final season, which now will just conclude one way or the other here in the time frame between now and the hearing date.
Well done.
Go ahead, Peter. I'm sorry.
No, you tell me.
And
your
the thoughts. The report is he's asking for 9 years.
Yeah.
So what's Judge doing? Is Judge saying, well, I want eight, so I'm going to ask for nine. They're offering seven. We'll meet in the middle. Well, it didn't work. We went past the deadline. Now, the deadline to me is kind of fugazi. Are you telling me if the Yankees came back tonight and said, all right, we'll give you eight, he's going to say, nope, sorry, you know, we're past the deadline. Sorry, I'm going to free agency. I still think this can happen during the season. But if you go by the word of the deadline, we are now past the deadline, and Brian Cashman made it very clear that that was going to be the final offer. So Judge obviously didn't accept that offer, so now that means that it looks like he can go to free agency. Good luck getting 9 years. Now, I could be blown away. Maybe Steve Cohen would give it to him. Maybe Detroit would give it to him. Maybe somebody that we're not thinking of, the San Francisco Giants, will say, yeah, we'll bring the kid home. He's from California. We'll give him the nine years. But I don't think so. And eight is something that could be doable. And I do think that if somebody offered him eight, Peter, the Yankees would counter and keep him in free agency. And I do see a light at the end of the tunnel of this being good news for the Yankees, because if he goes out there and has an MVP season, great, the Yankees benefit from that. If he doesn't have an MVP season and plays only 100 games because he gets injured, well, that plays to them as well, because now good luck getting 9 years if you're coming off an injury-plagued season. So good for the Yankees standing their ground. They are taking a risk they can lose him in free agency, but let's not forget, Judge could be taking a risk as well. What if he doesn't have a great season? What if he gets hurt? Good luck getting what he wanted, and maybe he'll regret not taking the Yankees deal. So both are playing chicken. Who's going to blink? We'll find out either sooner or we won't find out until the offseason.
Tiger Woods, back-to-back bogeys after after birdieing 2 of 3, back-to-back bogeys here, and he finds himself back at +3 again. Not what you want.
Now, do we know the cut line officially? I guess it's moving, but do we know what it is right now?
It's still a +4.
Meaning if he gets +4, he's made the cut.
Correct.
So he's still, I think, in good shape to make the cut. But who's our leader right now is...
Scottie Scheffler is at 4 under.
All right, so he's
And Scheffler's only through 10. Schwartzel's done for the day, 3 under. So, listen, there's still a lot of golf left. A couple more birdies. If Tiger can be, he can still find himself in contention. But, Don, if this, you know, after 2 rough holes, if he slides mentally into one of those places, he could find himself staring at the cut line, which would be a scary place to be.
Yeah, now, we'll see. There's a lot of golfers in front of him. So there's a lot that can happen. But right now, you know, first thing, make the cut. And it looks like that's still up because I guess he's playing on 13 now. So
no, it's still – listen, and the way this course plays, you know, I think the on FanDuel, the over-under on the winner's score of the tournament, they set it, I think, at -8 or -9. That's to win the tournament.
Right.
So, listen, if you make the cut, you can be in it. We'll see what happens there. Now, here's my question for Mets fans. Are there Mets fans out there, Don, who you think would, for the sake of not only getting a great player but spiting the Yankees, be interested in giving all those years to Aaron Judge?
Donaldson, by the way, RBI single, Yankees win 6-5. So Josh Donaldson has his Yankee moment immediately as the Yankees win in 11. So we'll be soon joined by Yes and Sooner by Michael Kay. Well, let's look at the evidence. Has he given ridiculous contracts out, Steve Cohen? Well, you could say the Lindor 10 years was, you know, maybe more than people expected, but I don't think it was that outlandish considering the age and the quality of the player. Yankees' first walk-off on opening day since 1957. Very interesting.
Wow, and you know what? That's interesting because I've been a Yankee fan since 1957.
Yeah, and there are a lot of callers that even beyond that. But what leads us to believe, other than just like sheer hope from Met fans or the fact that Steve Cohen is a billionaire how many times over, that he would give 9 years? I don't think his baseball people would allow. I don't think 9 years is on the table. Now somebody out there might say, well, what's the difference between 8 and 9? You know, what's 1 year? Well, it's a lot, because I think you go in giving an 8-year contract saying, you know what, that's not going to end well either. But it's one thing that when you get to year 7 of the contract and the guy starts to fall apart and you're not getting the numbers, all right, you can live with maybe another year of it. But then another year on top of that, where instead of, you know, blowing $60 million, we're talking about maybe $90 million. I mean, it's
yeah, that becomes real money you're talking about.
I, for anybody. I mean, even for somebody that's treating this like a toy, like Steve Cohen, who makes billion-dollar deals in his sleep, this is Tonka truck money to him.
Yeah, but you're right. Even though it's Tonka truck money to him, he still doesn't sneeze at $60 million. You know, the difference between 7 and 9 is still a huge deal.
Yeah, and then you've got, hey, all right, let's say you do that, okay? And what if DeGrom comes back from this injury and he's lights out and he opts out? Well, now you got to pay DeGrom, right? So you just gave a fortune to Judge. You're already paying Scherzer a bunch. Now DeGrom might come off a great second half of the season after he comes back from this injury, says he's going to opt out. Do you want to lose DeGrom? I don't. As much as I'd love to have Aaron Judge, I don't want to lose DeGrom. So now you give DeGrom what he wants, and maybe you overpay because you can't afford to lose DeGrom. So then that's even more money. So I don't think his baseball people would allow him to do it. I don't think anybody's going to give nine. So maybe the Yankees just sit back and go, I'm telling you, nobody's going to give you nine. So if somebody gives you eight, maybe we'll reconsider. Maybe we'll match that and bring you back. And if the Yankees are thinking that, then let him play the season. Because if he has an injury or something happens where he's subpar this year, then maybe you get him for way less. But, hey, I double dog dare you to get nine.
1-800-919-3776. And while we're at it, I should say it's Diamond Notes on the Michael Kay Show. Brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Let's go to Michael in the Bronx. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing today?
Good, man. How are you? What do you got?
Well, I am Michael Kay. I'm from the Bronx.
I
like
knew it.
Bacon. And,
wow.
And I just want to go over by saying, you know, this Aaron Judge deal is going to be pie in the face for the Yankees if he does phenomenal. You know, if he has, well, not even phenomenal. If he does, you know, just regular Aaron Judge numbers when he's healthy, he's going to be making the Yankees pay for it at the end of the year. And I feel like they had a shot, and they nickel and dimed basically the one guy on their roster. They shouldn't nickel and dime. You know that.
Well, nickel and dime is kind of strong, Michael. It's really. I mean, would you give him? Like, the rumor is he wants nine. Would you give him nine? Would you give him 9 years?
Why would you not give him nine? Why? Why would you not give him nine?
Because it's a stupid contract, Michael. He's going to be 31 years old next year. At the start of the contract, which means you're going to be paying him $30 million till he's 40.
And this goes back to the point of, is it your money, Don? Is it mine? No. The Yankees used to be a team where they would pay their guys.
Right.
This is a guy who came up in your
So there's no budget. Just give anybody anything they want.
You pay Derek Jeter. You don't pay Aaron Judge?
Well, they got into it with Derek Jeter and did it work out because he ended up getting hurt. But it's Derek Jeter. But Derek Jeter had five rings. All right? And maybe Judge gets a ring this year. But, you know, this idea, well, whose money is it? Well, you'll be the guy that complains 5 years into the contract if he's broken down and unable to play and say, we got to pay this guy five more years? Before Stanton started hitting home runs in the postseason, were you happy that there was still, like, another 6 years left on his contract? And then when you're not going out and getting free agents, because you want them to have a $400 million payroll, who cares? But obviously the Yankees do.
Because I understand the fan standpoint of, like, it's not my money. I don't care. You're rich. Spend it. I get it.
You just said
the reason it's a waste of time is because it is their money, and they're not going to just spend it. So we have to discuss it realistically. If we want to be silly and just say, who cares? Not my money. I hear you, but that's not the way they view it. So we might as well look at it through the lens of these are business people who are not going to spend every single dollar they have.
So they'll be the guys to complain when they give Judge all that money, and in year six of the contract, he can't play or he's not living up to the expectations. There's still money on Cole's contract. There's still money on Stanton's contract, and they don't get the next big free agent. Soto becomes a free agent. Oh, we can't bid for him because we're stuck in all these long-term contracts. They'll be the guys sitting on hold for 20 minutes complaining, why do we give Judge all that money? And the reason I know that is that I went through it with CC Sabathia. You all love CC Sabathia, but you were upset that he wasn't a Cy Young pitcher, but they were paying him Cy Young money. And that was a guy that won a championship for you in 2009. All right, to sit there and say there should be no budget is not realistic. Even the Mets have a budget with Cohen. Because they could have made a deal with the Padres after they lost to Grom and didn't make it because they didn't want to spend that kind of money at that particular time. They didn't want to panic yet. So, and let's also face, so the only way that you can compete, the only way you can keep players is to just pay them whatever. Okay, so you pay them whatever. And then what happens when the next contract comes up? All right, let's say that that Volpe comes up, and then Volpe turns out to be a really good player, and he wants a 10-year contract. Well, then you got to give him the 10-year contract because you gave Judge the 9-year contract. And it just goes on and on and on where you kind of set a precedent. And the fans are like, well, whatever the player wants, give it to him. So at what point do you say no? And at what point do you say, boy, that's the offer is 7 and you want 9? You want to get paid big money until you're 40? You don't think that's a little outrageous out of Judge? A little?
I know. That's the part. 40?
I mean, and listen, Judge is
an everyday
great,
player? 40?
Do we gonna ignore the fact that he's going to be 31 at the start of the contract? Do we ignore the fact that there have been years in which he has not been able to play a full season because of injury? Are we going to ignore the fact that he's 6'7"? And with that build, do you think that that translates into somebody who's going to play deep into his 30s without PEDs? Yeah, Barry Bonds was able to do it. But do you think a guy that size is going to be able to play every single day for the next 9 years? And for six of those nine, you're already clogged up at the DH with Stanton. Yeah, Stanton will play some games in the outfield. But do you think as that 6 years starts to wane, Peter, you're not going to see Stanton doing a lot of DHing?
Just to remind people, in 2018, Judge missed 50 games. In 19, he missed 60 games. In 20, he missed 32 of 60 games. And last year, he did play 148, which was great. But you got to be, we got to be realistic. Now, Don, I don't know if Anthony heard it, and maybe it didn't happen. And if it didn't, then it's okay. But I'm pretty sure that 5 minutes ago, you just called him Eric Jeter. And we all know that Derek's brother is Eric, not him.
I didn't. Usually I pick up when I make a mistake like that.
Anthony, just when you get a chance. Because if it didn't happen, Don, it doesn't matter. But if it did, you could imagine the beauty of Eric Jeter.
Eric Jeter.
1-800-919-3776. Zach believes Aaron Judge, in the great words of John Malkovich in Rounders, paid the man his money.
I love that movie.
Zach in Stanford, what do you got?
Hey, Don, how are you? Hey, Pete, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, so, I mean, I understand, you know, your whole point about not paying him, you know, until he's 40 and all that, but how do you do it so that both sides are happy? How do you do it so that you have a happy Aaron Judge, but you're also within reason on the front office side with the Yankees?
I don't know if they'd be willing to go to eight, Zach, but I think that's Judge's hope. I want nine, you want seven, give me an extra year. I guess that's probably how it's going to settle itself. Maybe it'll be 7 years with a club option for eight. I mean, there's got to be some room for negotiation. But, Zach, do you really think, honestly, and I respect your opinion, that in free agency next year, even coming off a monster year, he's going to get 9 years in free agency?
No, absolutely not. No, I don't think anyone
would. So why should the Yankees give him nine if they know he's not going to get it in free agency?
Exactly. I agree 100%. But how do you do it so that Judge will say, okay, I'll take 6 or 7 years, but also so that he gets somewhat of the money that he's looking for? I mean, because both sides have to find a common ground. They both have to be happy if it's going to work.
Well, you already got him 30. So would 35 do it? But still, that's...
I mean, if it's enough... If it's 40 a year, I think he would take it, yeah.
Well, think about it. Let's just do the quick math. Zach, thanks for the phone call. If you give him an extra 5 over 8, yeah, I guess that would make up for the 2 years you didn't get. Right? Because you would get over this deal, if you got 30 over 9, you got to make up the $60 million you lost in the 7. So that wouldn't. You'd still be less. You'd still be a little over halfway. So I don't know. You're not going to pay him $40 million a year, Peter.
Well, that
and again,
would
you know, this deal, he deserves it. All right, he deserves it to a point. Yeah, I'm all for these players to get whatever you can get, but is it realistic to pay $40 million a year for Aaron Judge?
Is he worth being the biggest everyday contract in baseball? Trout is at, let me look again, Mike Trout averages $35 million a year.
He's not Mike Trout. And that's not even remotely offending Judge. And again, this is not a sport that guarantees you anything. The Angels can't even get into the playoffs. So, listen, it stinks, but I got to be honest. Again, we don't even know if this report's true, but I would think it's factual that he wants nine. But, guy, playing hardball, You have to think you're going to get it someplace else. And if you know, if you're the Yankees and you know that there's no way he's getting nine in free agency, then you don't give him nine. The question is, will somebody give him eight? Probably. And I think the Yankees would go there if it means losing him in free agency. And if that's the case, let him play out the season. If he wins the MVP, you benefit because that's that much closer to a championship. And if he ends up stumbling, well, then maybe you get him cheaper at the end of the year.
Let's go to PJ and Edison. What you got, PJ?
Hey, Don. Hey, Pete. I'm so happy I could finally make it through to the station. Anyway, how do you play the fine line of giving the deals out now, you know, knowing in the future maybe?
All right, you got to call us back on a better line.
Oh, no. Plus a boom. That's not what you want. No. Let's go to Eli in Washingtonville instead. Hey, Eli.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Listen, Don, I know we go back and forth on this Yankee team. You called me a spoiled Yankee fan. You know, you don't agree that I think Cashman is incompetent. But listen, when it comes to these deals, Brian Cashman, what he did was he backed himself into a corner. And he gave all the leverage to Judge, if you come to think of it.
How so?
Now, you see how these guys from, you know, Greg Olson, for example, they got him in a trade of the Atlanta Braves, and they gave him an offer, you know, that would benefit the player and the team at the same time.
You mean Matt Olson?
The player gets to – yeah, Matt Olson, sorry. Where, you know – he gets money now and avoids arbitration and all this nonsense, and the team gets him at a discount. Now, I don't understand why they didn't do this with Judge. And also, Judge knows that he's the only star in the team right now, besides Stanton. And he's the face of the Yankees, and that gives you leverage.
Yeah, but it's only leverage if you can get it someplace else, Eli. Is he going to get that money someplace else? And right. If the answer is yes, then you're right. The Yankees have egg all over their face. But if the reports are true, he wants 9 years. All right, go find somebody that's going to give you 9 years. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Is you're saying the leverage. All right, he's got leverage if he can get that someplace else. If he can't get it someplace else, well, then the Yankees only have to go over an offer that's better than the one that they originally offered, which I think could be eight. And I think the Yankees might go to eight if he gets free agency. But if he can't get nine someplace else, then what leverage does Judge have? And how do you give Judge a contract extension earlier in his career when he was hurt? How would that make any sense in 2018 when he missed 50 games giving the guy a contract extension?
Yeah, they would have been killed for that.
Yeah, how are you giving a guy a contract extension when he literally played in less than half the games in a 60-game season 2 years ago? Like, how are you giving a contract extension? Now, they could have tried to give it to him last year, but you know what? It sounds like he wants to test free agency. So I know everybody hates Brian Cashman, Peter, but I guess they just hate him because they didn't give Judge exactly what he wants. Does that make you a good general manager to just sign checks all over the place and not care about the consequences? You want Soto in free agency someday. How do you know that Soto's not going to be your outfielder if you let Judge go? All right, so you don't even know what their answer would be.
Don, let's listen in on Tiger Woods' second shot on the par 5 13th. Couple of bogeys here, Tiger. Really trying to get himself closer.
Why?
To the leader who's sitting at 4 under.
Oh.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby a second from Tiger.
They got into it with Eric Jeter.
Oh, no. Do you hear it, Don?
Yeah, but that's just not – it didn't come out right. That's not me thinking his name is Eric.
Well, if that was the case, then yes, we'd have big problems.
They got into it with Eric Jeter.
It's still funny, but if you had decided in 2022 that his name was, in fact, Eric Jeter, yeah, I'd be worried. I'd say, you know what, let's cut back on some of the sesame chicken. There's something going on here. That'll do it for Diamond Notes, which is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. We'll be joined by Michael Kay in just a few minutes. Break down the big Yankees walk-off win, the first opening day walk-off Yankee win since 1940. 57. We'll do that. We'll talk more Judge. Plus ENN coming up at 6. Peter and Don on the Case Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees beat the Red Sox by a score of 6-5. Josh Donaldson's walk-off single, scoring Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. And the Yankees come back three separate times against the Red Sox to win this. They fell behind 3-0 before they even score, got a swing. And big home runs by Rizzo, Stanton, LeMahieu, and then the big hit by Josh Donaldson. So it's a good way to start the season, guys. I'm sure that you've spoken about the Aaron Judge situation. I think it, which is something, you know, you could sit back and go, well, that's not going to be an issue. It's going to be hanging over everybody's head for a long time. It's going to be something that people discuss. And the fact that the Yankees let out what the offer was, it speaks very clearly that they thought they made a great offer. And a lot of people around baseball think it was a great offer.
Mm.
But, you know, Don and Peter, you know, people are going to jump on Aaron Judge. You know, how could he ask for? You could ask for any whatever you want. What he's doing is gambling on himself. Because if he has a top 3 or 4 MVP-type season and doesn't get hurt, he's going to get that money from someone. And he obviously wants to be one of the highest-paid players in baseball, and $30.5 million was not enough for him.
But the report that he wants 9 is ridiculous. Right. And that's what I'm kind of basing it off of, because if that report is true, and we have every reason to believe it is, it's either one of two things. He figures, all right, maybe we'll come to split the difference. They offered 7, I want 9, give me 8. But what it also says is, I want to test free agency. Because there's no way he could have possibly thought the Yankees would give him 9. So all the talk about him wanting to be a Yankee for life, all right, that's just eyewash. If this report is true, he wants to be a free agent. And I think, I wish him luck getting 9. Because I don't think anybody's giving him 9 years.
I agree 100%, Don. Michael, my initial, I heard you in my head when it happened. I heard you saying, come back to me, babe. 9? I hear you. I know you want it. But a 9-year contract at 31 years old, it just, to me, it's a wild oversell of yourself. Like, he's a fantastic player, but that's a really tall ask.
Well, there's always been a saying in baseball, guys, and that saying is, all it takes is one dumb owner. Or one desperate owner. You don't even have to say dumb. One desperate owner. And maybe that desperate owner is the owner of the Giants, well, where he's from. Maybe that desperate owner owns the Mets. And they would give him the money. Because if he has another big year, Don and Peter, I'm telling you, somebody will give him that. And I don't think the Yankees might move on the money. I don't think they would ever move on the number of years. But, you know, if you look, Mookie Betts' contract takes him till he's 40. Now, he signed it when he was 27, but it takes him till he's 40. And Mike Trout's contract takes him till he's 39 or 40. So that's probably what Judge is thinking. Well, those guys are signed till they're 40. Why can't you sign me till I'm 40?
Well, you want to know why? Well, you take a look at the injuries early in his career. You take a look at his build. Does that look like a body that's going to be able to, you know, go out there and play 140, 145 games and live up to a $30 million contract until you're 39, 40 years old? And everybody talks about the Mets. Well, the Mets will do it. See, well, give me an example where Steve Cohen has spent like a drunken sailor. I know every Met fan hopes he will.
Well,
and he does have a bigger
Scherzer
budget.
Contract.
What's that?
The Scherzer contract.
Well, but the Scherzer, it's a 3-year deal.
I know, but it's and more money than by $7 million than anybody had ever been paid.
But, all right, he's somebody that's still an outstanding pitcher, and there's every reason to believe that at least for the first couple of years of that deal, or at least the first year of the deal, it's going to be big. And if you believe the reports there, it was insurance in case DeGrom got hurt. Now, thank God they have Scherzer. But when you're talking about a 9-year deal, maybe you're right, Michael. But, again, I can't kill the Yankees for not wanting to give him 9. Now, I think once they go to free agency and the Mets or the Giants or somebody offers him 8, I think the Yankees will probably step up and get 8 rather than lose him. But, you know, we're getting calls from people, he deserves it. Give him whatever he wants. You can't – I don't care who you are. That's not good business.
Tiger, birdies on 13, back to 2 – over. The 2 birdies and 2 bogeys on the back 9 so far.
So what is he now? Peter?
Tiger's plus 2, the cut line's at plus 4, the leader's at minus 4.
Mm.
So he's hovering. We were saying it earlier, Michael, he's in a weird spot where he still has enough golf left today to be fully in contention this weekend, or if it goes badly, he could still miss the cut.
One thing I would say, I don't think it's just the years with Judge, guys, by the way. I think it's the money, too. I think he wants to be one of the highest paid players in baseball, if not the highest paid player in baseball. So if they had gone up to 35 or whatever Correa makes this year, 35,
right?
If they'd gone to 35 for 7 years, I mean, who knows if he would take it? I'm not quite sure. You know, you could ask for anything you want. You know, that report was from Brendan Cuddy of NJ.com. You can ask for whatever you want. And I don't begrudge anybody, hey, because I think he, rather than taking the easy way out, which I think is the easy way out, take that money, generational wealth. You never have to worry about money again the rest of your life. You're betting on yourself. Now, some might call it greedy, but he has the right to ask. So it could also go south, Don and Peter. He could suffer a catastrophic injury. He'll never see any of it.
And
so
I also
it's not a stress-free gamble. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles that stress.
Right, exactly. And listen, the Yankees still benefit from him having an MVP year, because then that means he had a great year. And with the Yankees lineup and the way that they're constituted, you're telling me that's not going to help them, you know, win this division and possibly win a championship if he has that kind of a year? And if that happens, then maybe it costs the Yankees a little more than they wanted to pay. But if Judge ends up, you know, missing 50 games because of injury or doesn't have a great season, he may not get the offer that the Yankees, you know, just turned down. That could happen too. So I still think Judge has a lot to lose here. Now, you're betting on yourself, but a lot of things you don't control could end up costing you.
Now, he has a lot to lose. All right, I would agree with you, but let's think about it this way. Unless he suffers a catastrophic injury where he can never play again, he's going to get close to what the Yankees offered, I would think. He just is. He'll get close. So I don't think like he's going to have to like go hungry and he'll have to, you know, go out and get a real job or anything like that.
No.
I could see, you know, the Yankees released those numbers. Brian Cashman said he released the numbers because this is New York. Somebody would have found out, and I would have been getting phone calls all day about confirming or denying. But I think there was also a method to their madness. They don't want to look like the bad guys to their fan base. And I got to tell you, the offer they made, they don't look like the bad guys. But I'm also not going to say that Aaron Judge is the bad guy. Aaron Judge made a calculated decision. And I've told you guys this over and over again. Every one of our listeners knows. They've heard me say it. A lot of this is about ego, not about paying bills. It's about ego. Hey, I'm just as good as Mookie Betts. I'm just as good as Carlos Correa. I'm one of the great players in baseball. I want to be paid that way. And $30.5 million was not enough. Now, the Yankees are saying, well, that's the highest offer of any position player the Yankees have ever had. But, you know, Judge could also say, well, wait a minute. You gave Gerrit Cole $36 million a year. He'd never been a Yankee. He didn't come up through the system. And he plays 35 games a year. I play 145 games a year. So, listen, I understand both sides. I really do.
No, I get it. I don't think it'd be fair to call Judge greedy, and I don't think it's fair to rip the Yankees. But, Michael, you've got a fan base, and we were taking the phone calls that believe you should just give Judge whatever he wants.
Well, that's ridiculous.
But it's ridiculous, but it's the reality. So when you talk about the Yankees, you know, from a PR standpoint, sending out that money, they don't care if Joel Sherman tweets out that it's fair or John Heyman. They're going to look at it as our generational Yankee might test free agency and leave. Brian Cashman dropped the ball. The Yankees have dropped the ball. Give him whatever he wants. But like I said to those Yankee fans is, yeah, okay, that's fine. And then 5 years from now, if Judge is breaking down, not living up to expectations, don't get mad when they can't get that big free agent and you're screaming, I can't believe that we're stuck with this bad, you know, Judge contract,
right?
Just like you did with CeCe for years, you know, of we couldn't get the big guy because of the money, or when Stanton wasn't hitting home runs of the postseason, oh, this Stanton contract's killing us because we're not being able to find free agents. I mean, so, hey, there's no way you can convince me, Michael, that Aaron Judge is going to be worth the money they're going to pay him when he's 38, 39, 40 years old.
In fact, let me ask you this, Michael. What if Judge plays 150 games this year?
Right.
Goes to a level we've never seen him. He bats 320, 49 home runs, 160 RBIs. Absolutely his best season. What do you think's the max he could get if that were the case?
Somebody give him $40 million a year.
Over how many?
over 7 years. Somebody give him $280 million.
$280.
Because the Yankees essentially offered him an 8-year contract today. Because they this year, which is either going to be $17 million or $21 million, according to arbitration, they were going to settle at $19 million. And then starting in 2023, it was going to be $30.5 million a year. So this is an 8-year deal. Now, I don't know if he wanted a 9-year deal in addition to the 1 year this year, or he wanted this 1 year tied up, or erased. Now, if he wanted this erased, then it's the difference between the two sides just 1 year. But who knows how much money he wanted. But I believe if he has a seismic year where he wins the MVP, and I'm sure the Yankees are rooting for that. It's just like the Mets were rooting for Jacob DeGrom to have a great year, and then he would opt out because they got, you know, even if they don't sign him, they got what they needed, and the Yankees would get what they needed with Judge. I'm just curious before we go to break, guys, because I was on the air. So the vast majority of callers blame the Yankees?
The feeling is give him what he wants. Not all of them. We had a few saying I wouldn't give him, you know, more than 6 years or whatever, or I think it was a fair offer. But the vast majority, and correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony and Andrew and Peter, was give him what he wants. I can't believe that this isn't getting done. The Yankees are going to look like the bad guys in this. They just are. Because remember, Hal and Brian are not exactly popular to begin with. And they love Judge. And it wasn't like he was booed when he was introduced today.
No, not at all. I was listening for that.
And you're looking at fans now, and we saw it during the lockout, that I think fans, more so than 20, 30 years ago, will side with a player over management now. So I don't see the Yankees getting up from this. I'm not saying they should be moved by it, but at least the calls we got seem to favor Judge.
All right, this portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Jake's 58 Casino Hotel. Kick back at Jake's 58 Casino Hotel with one of the new special room packages. Get 25% off and a $50 food credit with the Stay and Dine package. Book today at jakes58.com. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls. We have ENN after that. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.